on the app.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge in Chippewa Falls will decide this morning whether a boy accused of killing a girl last year will be tried as an adult or as a child. Lily Peters was 10 years old when she was killed. The defendant is now 15. He's charged with homicide and sexual assault. That would land him in prison for the rest of his life if he's convicted in adult court. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled last month that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is operating under some new rules, Terry Bell reports.
The High Court's new liberal majority voted to reduce the powers of the Chief Justice Friday. Those responsibilities now belong to an administrative committee made up of two justices appointed by the majority and the Chief Justice. Administrative meetings are now open to the public. Those meetings are held to talk about budgets, court policies, and other issues. The court is also forming a committee to study when justices should recuse themselves from cases. Conservative Chief Justice Annette Zeigler says the liberal majority held an illegitimate closed meeting to pass unenforceable policies. Liberal Justice Rebecca Dallet says the moves are designed to make the court more accessible and more accountable. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
U.S. Capitol Police want to set up a regional office in Milwaukee. Threats against members of Congress are on the rise. Congressman Brian Stile is the chairman of the House committee that oversees the Capitol Police Force. He says it's a good idea.
To be able to bulk up those resources to protect members, their staff, as well as the public, I think it's important that we make sure that we keep everyone safe.
Stile was on Upfront on WISN-TV Sunday. Other new regional offices would be in Boston and Texas. A Wisconsin congressman's confrontation with a group of U.S. Senate pages is an issue in his reelection campaign. Republican Derek Van Orden berated the teens last month for lying on the U.S. Capitol Rotunda floor. Democrat Rebecca Cook tells supporters in Platteville the U.S. Capitol episode is part of a pattern.
His participation in the January 6th insurrection. He then went on to harass a young librarian in the Prairie du Chien Library. He then went on to carry a weapon into an airport. He now has gone on to, so it's I think, something that we've grown accustomed to seeing.
Van Orden hasn't commented publicly since right after the incident. At the time, he said he thought the pages were being disrespectful. Now that recreational marijuana is legal in Minnesota, Wisconsin Democrats are calling for legalization here. Wisconsin is now surrounded by states with legal cannabis in one form or another. Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard is one of Wisconsin's leading voices for legalization. She says Wisconsin is missing out on the tax revenue legal marijuana could bring. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. This morning, hearings begin as a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will be moved to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence if he's convicted, as well as two counts of sexual assault. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled last month that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed, but did not decide whether prosecutors would be limited only to information in the criminal complaint filed with the charges. Peters was found dead in the woods near her home on April 25, 2022. Hearings are scheduled to go into next week in the case. The bodies of two people were recovered in Barron County by officials after a man's body was seen in the water near a running pontoon Friday afternoon in Pekegama Lake near Chetek. The sheriff's office said the bodies of 59-year-old Scott Brumman of Chippewa Falls and 59-year-old Doug Robinson of Chetek were found about 5 hours apart. The Wisconsin DNR is investigating. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose to the Pirates. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Pirates 4-1 at American Family Field and ended up splitting the four-game home series at two games apiece. Milwaukee didn't score a run until the ninth inning. Pittsburgh starter Johan Oviedo gave up only two hits in seven innings to score his third win in a row. Manager Craig Counsell got questions why he thought the Brewers could not get a hit against Oviedo.
He just made a ton of pitches, so the off-speed was really good. And first inning, we hit some balls hard, it felt like, and then after that, he was done.
What do you think of the at-bats overall for you guys?
I just described it.
Brandon Woodruff retired the first six batters he faced, but gave up a pair of home runs in his return in five innings of work. The Brewers host the Rockies tonight, first pitch at 7:10. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Braves 6-4 at Wrigley. The Reds lost to the Nationals 6-3. NFL, the Packers had their family night at Lambeau Field over the weekend, over 65,000 fans. Quarterback Jordan Love overthrew some deep passes to start, but connected later with Christian Watson for a touchdown. Love finished the night 11 of 19. The Packers are now down to three quarterbacks. Yesterday, they released Danny Etling, who had been with the team a year and a half, mostly on the practice squad. The Packers are back on the practice field this afternoon before they head to Cincinnati for a joint practice session and preseason game against the Bengals. I asked Matt LaFleur what's on the agenda.
Well, Monday, we're going to have a little bit of a lighter practice. I think we're scheduled for about 90 minutes. On Tuesday, we'll slow it down. We'll walk through. And then it's travel to Cincinnati and go compete against a really good football team, one of the best teams in the National Football League.
And the U.S. women's soccer team upset at the World Cup after being eliminated by Sweden. America's Julie Ertz on the loss.
I think for me, it's just emotional because it's probably my last game ever being able to have the honor to wear this crest. But it's an honor to represent this team, and I'm excited for the future of the girls.
That's Team USA's Julie Ertz. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin. Yeah, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Monday morning. Today is the 7th day of August. And outside today, it's going to be mostly sunny in most places, partly sunny in other places, and a chance of an isolated shower also in some places. Let me give you the rundown real quick. Up in Hayward today, mostly sunny with a high around 83. Amory, mostly sunny with a high around 82. Richland Center, partly sunny with a high around 84. And in La Crosse, partly sunny with a high around 84. And in Eau Claire, partly sunny with a high around 85 degrees and a very slight chance of isolated showers after about 3 p.m. So in sports this weekend, or I guess I should say yesterday, the Brewers lost 4-1 to the Pirates, and they split that four-game series. The Brew Crew is still in first place, but the surging Chicago Cubs and the Reds are tied for second place, only a game and a half behind the Brewers in the National League Central. And the Colorado Rockies visit Milwaukee for a three-game series that starts tonight. So taking a look at the headlines, it says here, tribal and state researchers are teaming up to study the effects of forever chemicals on bald eagles in northern Wisconsin. Bald eagles being the proverbial canaries in the coal mine. Governor Evers said Wisconsin's slate of fake electors should face prosecution. The nonpartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission unanimously approved a new design for absentee ballots, and cuts in state funding for the UW system by Republican lawmakers is having real-world consequences. UW Oshkosh planning to cut about 200 administrators and staff this fall. So I hope you had a good weekend. And by the way, if you'd like to join us on the big radio show today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say concerning any of these topics we are going to discuss. And if you would like to call in, the phone number is 715-388-7155. And I want to get to this story about the cuts in state funding for the UW system. Now, UW Oshkosh planning to lay off and furlough about 200 people. The headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says UW Oshkosh plans layoffs and furloughs in response to $18 million deficit. And it says here that UW Oshkosh plans to cut about 200 non-faculty staff and administrators this fall while furloughing others. UW Oshkosh Chancellor Andrew Leavitt said on Thursday, as the university faces an unprecedented $18 million budget shortfall. The cuts amount to about 20% of university employees. Quote, it's no longer sustainable for us to operate without dramatic reduction in expenses, Leavitt said in an email to employees. Administrators referred to a perfect storm in conditions that have led to budgetary issues, a decline in the number of high school graduates choosing to go to college or university, and declining state support for the University of Wisconsin system, leading to an over-reliance on tuition revenue. Quote, the delta between what we asked for in state funding and what we got was nearly a quarter of a billion dollars, UW System President Jay Rothman said in an interview on Wednesday. And he went on and said, it gives you some sense of the magnitude of the issues that we're dealing with. About 1,100 employees are subject to layoffs, according to a statement from UW Oshkosh Chief Communications Officer Peggy Breister. University expenditures totaled about $241 million in fiscal year 2023. Republican lawmakers cut state funding for the UW system by $32 million in the new budget, the 2023 through 25 state budget. In contrast, Governor Tony Evers had proposed an increase of $305 million for the UW system. The budget cut reflects an effort by Republican lawmakers to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion-focused offices and employees. After all, who would want diversity, equity, and inclusion in your university system? And it says here, state funding for Wisconsin's public university system was on the decline even before this spring's debate about the DEI initiatives, diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Data show student enrollment has been trending lower across the UW system since 2010. According to the system's online data dashboard, UW Richland, a branch campus of UW Platteville, halted in-person operations this summer after years of declining enrollment, budget cuts, tuition freezes, and reorganizations. 10 of the UW system's 13 campuses are expected to face a combined $60 million deficit by the summer of 2024. A recent Wisconsin Policy Forum report found Wisconsin's public university system is among the worst funded in the nation. Is that what we want in Wisconsin? To have a public university system that is among the worst funded in the nation? This spring, the board overseeing the UW system voted to increase tuition across all 13 universities for the first time since 2012. On average, resident undergraduate students will pay 5% more in tuition this fall than the year prior. That's an increase of between $323 and $468, depending on the school. Oshkosh is the third largest of the 13 UW system campuses after Madison and Milwaukee. Its fall 2022 enrollment, so a year ago, was 13,714 students, or about 700 fewer than the year before. UW Oshkosh employees will be notified later this fall about layoffs based on student enrollment and employee numbers. Leavitt said layoffs would be unavoidable, but could be lessened by retirements. Furloughs will begin in September, Leavitt said, and continue through June of next year, 2024. He said higher earners will be subject to longer furloughs, but did not specify the length. Although faculty are shielded from layoffs, they could see furloughs this fall.
About 288 faculty members are in this position. Levitt said UW Oshkosh would not be closing academic programs as part of the plan, but would suspend curriculum modifications. And the quote here says, "We will continue to be that place of teaching, learning, research, and service for our community, our region, and the state needs. But we must operate differently than we have in the past," Levitt said in the email to staff. "Our approach will face this new reality head on, reorganizing and reducing our payroll and operational expenses and shielding our classrooms and student experiences to the fullest extent possible." In May, UW Oshkosh announced it would close its Children's Learning and Care Center as a result of financial and staffing issues. The Oshkosh YMCA eventually reopened a child care center in its place. And cuts announced on Thursday come after administrators looked for other ways to recoup the $18 million deficit, Levitt said in an interview. He said, "We may do some trimming here and there, but for the most part, the only way we can get to that is through personnel actions," he said. Each of the 10 universities in the UW system with structural deficits has different financial pressures, Rothman said. Each university has a different level of funding in its reserves, a key metric in determining cuts. Quote, "So you can't assume simply because Oshkosh is doing this that that's going to apply to our other universities," Rothman said, "but each of them, pursuant to the system-wide strategic plan, are focused on eliminating those structural deficits over the next couple of years," end quote. And I would think that, I don't know, is that something that Republicans are proud of, the fact that they cut the funding for the UW system and now the third largest school in the system, UW Oshkosh, will have to lay off about 200 people this fall. I don't know. Does that make the system better? Does that make the state of Wisconsin more attractive to businesses and business leaders as a place that they might want to invest? I don't know. We're going to take a break, but before we do, I want to invite you to call in and let us know what you're thinking about this topic, about UW or that new ballot. We'll discuss that next, the redesigned ballot for absentee voters. Phone number to call is 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Sometimes I wonder where'd I go wrong. Is this the way it's meant to be? Close my eyes to the feeling, but deep inside it troubled me. The more time goes on, the further it brings me down. I've tried and tried again to turn it around. The lower you fall, the higher you fly. I'm cleared for takeoff, bring on better things. Gonna do what I can to find my wings. Bottom, scoured for hope, drifted around.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 82 today under partly cloudy skies, northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 55 tonight, mainly clear skies, mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 83. Low 80s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. Once again, highs reach 82 today. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 63.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't put a price on my soul. My burden is heavy, my dreams are beyond control. When that steamboat whistle blows, I'm gonna give you all I got to. And I do hope you receive it well, depending on the way you feel that you live. These words that I speak, I know you've suffered much, but in this you are not so unique. All of us at times we might work too hard, too heavy, too fast, and too much. And anyone can fill his life up with things he can see, but it just cannot touch.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Monday morning. Music from Bob Dylan getting us into this next segment. And do you vote in person? Yeah. Or do you send in an absentee ballot? There's going to be a change coming up if you do use an absentee ballot. Election leaders approve a redesign of absentee ballots aimed at making them easier to read and complete. That's the headline in a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says here the nonpartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission unanimously approved a new design for absentee ballots that election officials say will make it easier for voters to read and complete absentee ballots in future elections. The updated design introduces colors to the ballot scheme, moves the clerk's initial field from the bottom of the ballot to the top, and introduces a numbered three-step process for voters to follow while filling out their ballot. Ballots also come in four colors: blue for outgoing ballots mailed to voters from clerks, purple for standard return ballots that voters mail in, teal for return ballots from care facility-based voters, and brown for return ballots from military or overseas voters. The result is a clearer ballot that better meets voter needs, said Sarah Linsky, Information Technology Manager for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The staff at the Wisconsin Elections Commission gathered feedback from more than 250 voters and local election officials in at least 11 communities statewide during a ballot usability testing period from late May to mid-July. Feedback was generally positive, though the WEC, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, made some minor language changes and added a warning icon to the witness certification section to address concerns raised during the testing process. Diana Dykstra, clerk and treasurer for the village of Maguanago, said witness certifications were the number one reason why she had to reject absentee ballots at the polls. She said the new ballot design will reduce errors, which in turn will increase security at the polls. Quote, if you're getting the ballot a day before election day, there's not much room for us to try to get that voter to come back in and correct that error, Dykstra said. The whole goal here is to make everyone's vote count, end quote. Commissioners also weighed whether printing color ballots would increase costs for local government, but cost estimates varied among clerks statewide, Linsky said, with one clerk reporting envelope costs could double, while another expected their costs to decrease. Additionally, the committee's finalized motion introduced a two-color scheme for outgoing ballots, with most of the ballot features being blue, but the wavy official election mail logo colored red. The suggestion for the change came from Commissioner Robert Spindell, who was concerned a blue ballot with a gray logo could sow confusion among voters because blue is a color commonly associated with the Democratic Party. Spindell has previously made comments praising Republican campaign efforts that he said discouraged black voter turnout in Milwaukee. So based on that, it sounds like he's trying to reduce the number of black people that vote in Milwaukee. Not much else you can say about that, right? Let's take a break right here. It's 8:27 and a half right now. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. There's a woman in custody in Ukraine accused of passing intelligence to the Russians in an alleged assassination plot against Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Former President Trump is publicly airing doubts about the federal judge overseeing his election conspiracy case. She has given Trump Trump's legal team until later this afternoon to respond to special counsel Jack Smith's request.
Trump's full steam ahead on talking about this publicly, campaigning on these indictments. He uses a line repeatedly where he says, "I'm proud to be indicted because I've been indicted for you." It's this campaign message where if they're out to get me, they're out to get you.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. Two firefighters and a pilot killed when their firefighting helicopter crashed into another helicopter over Riverside County, California. No one on board the other chopper was killed. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. This morning, hearings begin as a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will be moved to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence if he's convicted, as well as two counts of sexual assault. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled last month that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed, but did not decide whether prosecutors would be limited only to information in the criminal complaint filed with the charges. Peters was found dead in the woods near her home on April 25, 2022. Hearings are scheduled to go into next week in the case. The bodies of two people were recovered in Barron County by officials after a man's body was seen in the water near a running pontoon Friday afternoon in Pacagama Lake near Chetek. The sheriff's office said the bodies of 59-year-old Scott Brummond of Chippewa Falls and 59-year-old Doug Robinson of Chetek were found about 5 hours apart. The Wisconsin DNR is investigating. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Where my head was at when you found me. Me and you went to hell.
my day. Man, I thought I had everything, I was lonely. Now you're my everything, I was lonely. I was blessed cause you knew I was low. Head gone rolling off the throne. I remember we was in the park. Late night made love on the grass. Got my head in the clouds counting all my stars. In my ear said the world was ours. Went to hell and back just to heal my wounds. Cause it gets like that, wrong side of the moon. No Tutankhamun, you're my Cleopatra. No side thing, don't need a backer. Need a real one, don't need an actor. A lost one's faith, think you want a BAFTA. Come and be my girl. Could you tell where my head was at when you found me?
Me and you went. All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8:35 right now on this Monday morning. 68 degrees in La Crosse, 59 degrees in Hayward. Helen Back by Bakar. And sometimes it seems like that's where we've been, right? To Helen Back with this former president of ours who's causing all kinds of trouble these days. If somebody sent you a message that said, if you go after me, I'm coming after you, would you take that as a threat? I think most people would. And you probably heard by now that is the message that the former president, of course I'm speaking about Trump, sent out on Friday. If you go after me, I'm coming after you. That threat was sent out on Friday in all capital letters by the former president. And, of course, the feds immediately alerted the judge about that. It's not a tweet, and it's, I don't know what you call messages on Truth Social, but that's where it was sent, Trump's Truth Social messaging network. But I have a headline here from the New York Times, or excuse me, from Politico. It says, feds alert judge to Trump's, if you go after me, I'm coming after you post. Prosecutors say the former president's message on Truth Social raises the specter that he might use evidence to target witnesses. Prosecutors on Friday night called a judge's attention to a social media post from Donald Trump issued hours earlier, in which they say the former president appeared to declare that he's coming after those he sees as responsible for the series of formidable legal challenges he is facing. Or would you pronounce it formidable? I've heard it pronounced both ways. But either way, attorneys from special counsel Jack Smith's team said the post from Trump specifically, or by implication, referenced those involved in his criminal case for seeking to subvert the 2020 election. In a court filing just before 10 p.m. on Friday, senior assistant special counsels Molly Gaston and Thomas Windham alerted the judge in Trump's latest criminal case, U.S. District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan, to a combative post Trump sent earlier in the day. If you go after me, I'm coming after you, Trump wrote in all capital letters on Friday afternoon on Truth Social, which is run by a media company that he co-owns. The prosecutors said Trump's post raised concerns that he might improperly share evidence in the case on his social media account, and they urged that he be ordered to keep any evidence prosecutors turn over to his defense team from public view. Quote, all the proposed order seeks to prevent is the improper dissemination or use of discovery materials, including to the public, Gaston and Windham wrote. Such a restriction is particularly important in this case because the defendant has previously issued public statements on social media regarding witnesses, judges, attorneys, and others associated with legal matters pending against him. And in recent days, regarding this case, the defendant has issued multiple posts either specifically or by implication, including the following, which the defendant posted just hours ago. The Truth Post cited is the definition of political speech and was in response to the rhino, China-loving, dishonest, special interest groups and super PACs like the ones funded by the Koch brothers and the Club for No Growth, a Trump spokesperson said in a statement. On Saturday, Judge Chutkan ordered that Trump's team file a response to the government's motion by 5 p.m. Monday. That's today, 5 p.m. today. Trump's attorneys attempted to extend the deadline, which the judge denied. Jack Smith's office, has not sought a gag order in either of the criminal cases it is pursuing against Trump, one in Florida focused on his retention of classified documents, and the other in Washington over his efforts to interfere with the certification of the 2020 presidential election. The filing Friday night does not make any request to bar Trump or his attorneys from discussing the D.C. case publicly or with the media. However, prosecutors in that case have indicated they're prepared to share a substantial volume of evidence with Trump as soon as Chutkan approves an order governing the handling of evidence. Chutkan is slated to bring attorneys for both sides to court on August 28th to discuss setting a trial date. It's unclear if Trump's post will prompt her to seek more immediate efforts to implement a protective order or to impose a gag order, which can be issued under D.C. federal court rules. Trump's Truth Social post came one day after he swore in federal court that he would not make any effort to influence or retaliate against witnesses or make any other actions that might obstruct the administration of justice in his case. Asked by a magistrate judge on Thursday to verify that he would comply with that instruction, Trump acknowledged it and said that he would. The Truth Social post made no specific reference to any witnesses or court personnel, but Trump has often used his social media megaphone to attack prosecutors and judges in the criminal cases he is facing. That piece at politico.com. So, would you trust Donald Trump if he told you he was going to behave and not cause any problems while he is awaiting trial? I don't know if I'd trust him under any circumstances. And in fact, I have a story here from the New York Times that says Trump calls for judges' recusal as his lawyer deems effort to overturn election, quote, aspirational. Former President Donald Trump spent the weekend on the attack on Truth Social while his lawyer, John Lauro, ran through a gauntlet of interviews on Sunday morning. This piece by Luke Broadwater and Maggie Astor at New York Times posted yesterday. It says, appearing on five television networks on Sunday morning, a lawyer for former President Donald Trump argued that his actions in the effort to overturn the 2020 election fell short of crimes and were merely, quote, aspirational, end quote. The remarks from his lawyer, John Lauro, came as Trump was blanketing his social media platform, Truth Social, with posts suggesting that his legal team was going to seek the recusal of Judge Tanya Chutkan, the federal judge overseeing the case, and try to move his trial out of Washington. With his client facing charges carrying decades in prison after a federal grand jury indicted Trump for his role in trying to overturn the election, his third criminal case this year, Lauro appeared in interviews on CNN, ABC, Fox, NBC, and CBS. He endeavored to defend Trump, including against evidence that as president, he pressured his vice president, Mike Pence, to reject legitimate votes for Joe Biden in favor of false electors pledged to Trump. Quote, what President Trump didn't do is direct Vice President Pence to do anything, Mr. Lauro said on CNN's State of the Union. He asked him in an aspirational way. Lauro used the same defense on NBC's Meet the Press when asked about Mr. Trump's now infamous call to Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. During that call, President Trump pressured Raffensperger to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, to win the state, and suggested that Raffensperger could face criminal repercussions if he did not. So once again, we see threats. Seems these days that the Republican Party, or I guess more accurately, the MAGA portion of the Republican Party, are just all about threats and hate these days. So the attorney says, oh, that was just an aspirational ask. His portrayal of Trump's approach is at odds with two key moments in the indictment. In one, prosecutors say that on January 5th, 2021, the day before the insurrection, Trump met alone with Pence, who refused to do what Trump wanted. When that happened, the indictment says, quote, the defendant grew frustrated and told the vice president that the defendant would have to publicly criticize him. So it sounds like when Trump told Pence to use the fake electors, and Pence said he wouldn't do it, the defendant, Trump, grew frustrated and told the vice president that he would have to publicly criticize him, say bad things about him in public. This sounds sometimes like junior high school kids or middle school kids arguing about things. The story from the New York Times goes on and says Pence's chief of staff, Mark Short, then alerted the head of Pence's Secret Service detail, prosecutors said. That same day, after the New York Times reported that Pence had indeed told Trump that he lacked the authority to do what Trump wanted, the president issued a public statement calling the report, quote, fake news. According to the indictment, Trump also falsely asserted, quote, the vice president and I are in total agreement that the vice president has the power to act, end quote. Let's take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
The newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 82 today under partly cloudy skies, northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 55 tonight, mainly clear skies, mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 83. Low 80s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. Once again, highs reach 82 today. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 63.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
She sings sweet and all in earnest. Rhythm, wine, touch of Jamaica. Twilight time with the Kingston lady. All the time in the world for me and that girl. Sweet, she sings sweetly. Come back soon. Come back for more than love in the afternoon. Breezes blow by.
Stu Daniels Show on this Monday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. We have 65 degrees in Eau Claire, also 65 degrees in Richland Center, and 8:52 right now. Just before the break, we were discussing some of the crazy postings by the former president, Donald Trump, on his Truth Social media network. But anyway, his lawyer making the rounds yesterday on all five Sunday news shows, what they call the full Ginsburg, from when Monica Lewinsky's lawyer, William Ginsburg, did the same amid allegations about her affair with President Bill Clinton. And Trump was waging his own campaign on Truth Social while his attorney was out making the rounds. I was going over this piece from The New York Times with a headline that says Trump calls for judge's recusal as his lawyer deems effort to overturn the election was just aspirational. Trump wasn't really telling Mike Pence to not certify the votes. And he wasn't really telling Brad Raffensperger down in Georgia to find 11,780 votes. He was just being aspirational, is what the attorney is now trying to say. So Lauro, the attorney, made those appearances yesterday on all of the news shows, the Sunday morning news shows. And so while that's going on, Trump is still sending out these messages on his Truth Social platform. And here's one here that says, wow, it's finally happened. Little Mike Pence, a man who was about to be ousted as governor of Indiana until I came along and made him vice president, has gone to the dark side. That's what Trump wrote on Saturday. Then a few days earlier, he mocked Pence, now a 2024 rival for the presidential election. And he mocked him for, quote, attracting no crowds, enthusiasm, or loyalty from people who, as a member of the Trump administration, should be loving him. Trump went on and said, I never told a newly emboldened, not based on his 2% poll numbers, Pence, to put me above the Constitution, or that Mike was, quote, too honest. And that's probably a quote that you've heard over the past week or so, that Trump was calling Pence too honest, or he said to his face, you're too honest, when Pence told him that he couldn't change the outcome of the 2020 election. So I'll continue with this piece from the New York Times. It says Trump's attack came after a judge warned him against intimidating witnesses and after prosecutors flagged another Truth Social post by Trump as potentially threatening. And then yesterday, Sunday, Trump also attacked Jack Smith, the special counsel in the January 6th case, and attacked Representative Nancy Pelosi, calling Smith deranged and Pelosi sick and demented. In one all caps message, Trump accused Smith of waiting to bring the case until right in the middle of his election campaign. In other posts, Trump attacked Pelosi, the former House Speaker, who recently said that the former president had seemed like a scared puppy before his arraignment. Quote, she is a sick and demented psycho who will someday live in hell, Mr. Trump wrote. And it's hard to believe that that guy was president. And he channeled his grievances with the court process toward Judge Chutkan and toward the population of Washington, D.C., writing that he would never get a fair trial. For his part, Mike Pence has been criticizing Trump's actions in carefully calibrated terms. He has repeatedly used the same phrases, arguing that anyone who, quote, puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States, end quote. He repeated similar lines on Sunday on CNN's State of the Union following Mr. Lauro's appearance and on CBS's Face the Nation. Quote, what I want the American people to know is that President Trump was wrong then and he's wrong now, that I had no right to overturn the election. Pence told the CNN anchor, Dana Bash, I had no right to reject or return votes, and that, by God's grace, I did my duty under the Constitution of the United States, and I always will, end quote. So that's that story from the New York Times concerning Donald Trump and his, what would you even call it at this point? I don't know. He's just kind of railing at everybody these days who's not being faithful. Anyway, we got to take a top of the hour break for the news. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
The Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share.
Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin?
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
News